Hi, I'm Malcolm Nichols.
And I'm Richard Ayling.
And this is Man Reimagined, a podcast where we, as men, attempt to reimagine ourselves in the 21st century.
How can we respond to the big questions that we're facing, both within ourselves and within society, and make sense of this ever-changing world?
We don't have all the answers, but we do want to create a conversation. So join us moving forward as a man reimagined.
Now.
Alrighty, welcome back to Man Reimagined, where this week we've got Karina Guthrie back again. Except this time, rather than Richard and myself peppering Karina with questions, we're doing a role reversal. If you remember about three or four episodes ago, we talked to Karina about what her experience was like around men, and particularly in relation to this question of violence perpetrated by men towards women. And as a consequence of that conversation, Karina was really keen to turn the ball or what's the expression on this one, guys? turn the page, or I don't know, roll the ball over, do something anyway, and ask us a few questions. So without further ado, and without even introducing Richard, because if you've been listening long enough, you'd know that Richie is my co-host in this wonderful little project that we've got going, I'm going to hand the ball over to you, Karina, to take it away.
Thanks for having me back. I'm really excited about this conversation, actually. I was thinking about it probably a few days ago, and I thought, what am I going to ask? And then I had one question in my mind, and I thought, I'll just write that down. And then a whole bunch of them came out really quickly. So I'm just going to actually get stuck straight into the first one and ask you both, and maybe Mal, you can answer this first. If you think back to your time growing up, and that can be childhood or early adulthood or whatever it happens to be, are there one or two formative experiences that you had that kind of left an impression regarding this issue of like what it means to be a man, like where you learned, oh, this is who I am as a man or have to be as a man?
Ooh, yeah, big question. So I'm just going on, you know, the first two or three things that jumped into my thoughts as you answered that question. So I think for me, the biggest influence for me growing up as I moved into those teenage years was through playing football. So I was a really good soccer player when I was younger, and to the point where by the time I was 13, 14, I was actually playing with men. So what that meant was, you know, as I hit my teenage years, I was actually spending at least three nights a week and then my weekends hanging around guys, you know, 18, 20. I mean, sometimes by the time I was 15, I was playing with guys who were over 30. So, you know, in many ways, they were, besides my father, you know, they were the ones who really influenced me hugely. And I have to say, for better and for worse, and probably, you know, reflecting back, there's a lot of, you know, there was a lot of good things about it. It forced me to grow up, you know, quite quickly. And I mean, I was a pretty big guy for my size, for my age, but you know, the downside, of course, being so young in a group of men was that I was exposed to drinking really early, and and the banter in a changing sheds back in the 80s was pretty, it was lots of fun, but it was, you know, nowadays you'd say it was misogynist and sexist and everything else, but I mean, it was a lot of fun. But I think the way that it has influenced me was that it, you know, being in this team environment, it's so much about this thing of, you know, needing to be accepted, you know. So the biggest thing for me is needing to be accepted by other men. And that has all that, and that's been an influence right through my life. You know, this, it's like needing to get affirmation from other men. And one of the downsides for that for me is that it's led me into a lot of kind of poor choices where I've followed other guys because I wanted to be accepted, you know, particularly around drugs and things like drugs and alcohol and things like that. And when I was a teenager, you know, I playing sports, drinking and doing drugs was a big part of, ironically enough, was a really big part of that whole sports scene. And so this need to fit in and this need to be liked by other men. And the second bit to that was, you know, I have always been quite, I've been quite an emotional guy. And you know, I had, so in that environment, you know, I had to shut a lot of that down as well. You know, I couldn't be the gentle guy that I often am in that environment. I needed to be able to have a level of banter and a level of hardness to me that felt really foreign. But I learned how to do it. And then the problem is that became a shield that I've used in and around throughout my life at times when I've just kind of been a jack the lad and put on this kind of facade that's actually not really me. So that's the big memory or the big formulative experience. And just want to add one little bit too, you know, the other thing that within my soccer was I got sexually abused by my football coach when I was a 15 year old, something like that. And so that was also hugely formative as well. And again, you know, it's this thing of a young boy being around men and getting taken advantage of. It was, so that's it's a hard memory that I have.
Do you think that would be a common experience around sort of growing up and learning, or getting an impression of what it means to be a man or sort of what masculinity is through sports?
Yeah, I mean, particularly, yeah, very much so. And in New Zealand, exceptionally so. I mean, we've, in many ways, sports is the primary social structure I think a lot of boys grow up with. It may be changing a little bit now, but back when I was growing up, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, there is a lot of good things that came out of that, you know, just in terms of, you know, actually being able to be comfortable being in a group of men, you know, like all of us being in the shower and being nude and, you know, having all of these things go on, like, which you know, a lot of people are actually uncomfortable with now, you know. So, you know, I did learn a lot. It did give me a lot. It certainly, like I said, it helped me grow up and it gave me the strength and self-belief to be able to hang out with those, even though I felt like I needed to fit in, you know. I knew that I could, like, it gave me the belief that I could. And so yeah, you know, there's pros and cons. I mean, sports, but in New Zealand, absolutely, sports is a huge part of the journey up to manhood for men.
And then one more question on that. Did you find then that when you had that experience of abuse, that then caused you to, like, question what you thought were the boundaries around sort of male relationships or what that had meant or something like that?
Well, to be honest, you know, I mean, this is another thing about 30 odd years ago. It wasn't a big secret that this guy did this. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't the only one who he did it to. And, you know, from a cultural perspective, you know, there's a lot of kind of brushed under the carpet sexual abuse that went on in New Zealand for a long, long time. And so there was, you know, for me, just a lot of shame. It didn't, it, But I also, a lot of minimizing, you know, like, so I pushed it into the background, but also, you know, made it not mean much. You know, I made it say, I'm not the only one, and it wasn't a big deal, and blah, 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 you know. And it hasn't, and I, you know, for a long time I said, you know, it hasn't affected me as a man. It hasn't impacted me growing up. I mean, now I know that it absolutely impacts intimacy for me, you know, and fear. And also for a while I went the complete opposite way and kind of got into all sorts of ways of trying to not make it mean anything by going out and having sex with men, for example, and things like that, you know, like it kind of did a whole bunch of, there's a whole bunch of the things that it influenced, but you know, I don't, yeah, it's I think the major impact for me was this minimization. It didn't mean anything. And you know, I'm not the only one, and which, you know, that's a story that minimizing, I've noticed that that's something that I've done in a lot of places in my life, and I don't know if that's as a consequence of that experience or whether it's just something I do, but you know, that's just a personal reflection.
I'm sorry that happened to you, Mal.
Yeah, look, it's you know, I think from a personal perspective, I know, I mean, it's like the same thing with, you know, there's a lot of abuse that goes on out there, right? And I think the more we can talk about it, the better. And I mean, I absolutely am okay with it now. And I actually really enjoy talking about it, because I feel, it feels to me that if men can talk about this stuff, you know, because I've certainly talked to a lot of men, and the wounds around sexual abuse are massive, right? And it's really hard stuff to talk about. But so I feel really compelled to share it, to talk about it, because it is something that has happened to a lot of people, and it's not my fault. It's not our fault, right? As we know, as we all know.
Yeah, I definitely think that giving voice to it takes some of the power away from it, and then some of that, you get to take that power back.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Rich, in terms of formative experiences for you that defined your relationship with what it means to be a man?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely remember sort of sports as being also a thing in England, where I grew up, and I was a lanky boy, and I was super fast, you know, so I would be good in races, and in football, we used to play that quite a lot. And that was my way of kind of connecting with men or boys in the playground. But then when it became more physical, like with, say, rugby, that used to freak me out. And the contact and the kind of, yeah, the contact, I wasn't really comfortable with that. That's kind of, I was, yeah, something around touch for me was really hard to deal with. And I would sort of shy away from that. And then I would be kind of laughed at. And then, you know, okay, so if you can't handle a rugby tackle, or if that's not your thing, then you're not a man, you know? And then I can remember very well, like a couple of incidences in the shower room where, you know, I was kind of the laughing stock, and that had an impact on me, definitely. Like, I'm not safe around men. And as you were asking your question, before you even got a chance to finish, like, what was the like formative experience? Like, the first thing that came to mind was a memory where I was actually at college. We just started like a fresh life just outside of school, which wasn't a great time for me. And we were still a bunch of friends outside of news agents at night, you know, as a 16-year-old does. And a bunch of other kind of lads kind of congregated, and without warning, from out of nowhere, I just, from one moment to the next, I just remember being punched in the face from behind and just kind of coming to on the floor with blood dripping out of my nose, and this boy just screaming in my face to get up and fight me. And that was terrifying, and I had no way to process that. We all kind of ran away, and not knowing how to deal with that was really, really hard. And this kind of sense of being so angry and the thoughts around that and wanting to just fucking throttle this guy. And, you know, it went on for a while, right? Like, and but also not knowing how to process anger and being told that, you know, you can't be angry. That was something that I'd learned, and anger is not something that people feel comfortable around. And so not being able to express that meant I was carrying that around for a really long time inside me, and that I didn't feel safe around men, Mark II. And that's kind of, that's shown up throughout life, you know, like in surfing, like a bunch of men together, oh, not safe here. And I've learned to address this now. And, you know, me and Mel run men's circles and I love the presence of men, but the wounding around that has taken a long time to work through. And this sense of I'm not good enough and kind of shame just from not being, okay with this contact element. Or the challenge element when I was younger, and then being punched in the face like that. Those were two huge experiences for me that I've mostly dealt with. And as I'm talking, there was another one with another boy just kind of kicking the shit out of my lunchbox in front of a bunch of women. You know, this is like middle school, right? So I was probably 10 and I had no way to stand up to him and know what was going on. And I immediately felt utter shame in front of these girls that were then laughing at me, and I couldn't stand up, you know, I didn't have that physical response. And so, you know, men not safe, you know, this kind of physical thing that I didn't have a relationship to, I didn't know how to stand up for myself. And so for life long after, I just sort of was happier to relate to women because there was no physical threat to me. So that's my version of events.
It's interesting to me that safety is something that kind of came up for both of you in really different ways, because I feel like in also in so much of the conversation that is happening at the moment around, you know, the role of men and the role of women, and there are a thousand different ways that conversation is happening, that, you know, the issue of safety is something that comes up for women, obviously, but it's also coming up for both of you. So, I heard a...
yeah, it was like a half a thought forming. I mean, just a reflection on the, I led a men's circle last night, and it's the second time a bunch of men got together, and, you know, they'd never done anything like this before. And, you know, a bunch of men coming together, the strangers coming together, is like, it's become a weird thing. You know, it's either cultish or it's like, oh, you're a masonry, what's going on here? And by the end of the evening, once we created that space, that psychological safety, and just shared with what's real, you know, with each of us, something profound happened. But it needed that shift. It needed like one of us to actually then kind of actually say what was really going on for them, and for it to be okay for other men to go, oh, is it okay to say that I'm not doing so well, or whatever it was. Like, we need permission, it seems, to be able to do that. And then afterwards, it was just like joyous, you know, like suddenly men have this, they're free to then kind of be in this collective and feel safe around each other. So I just think that it's not just me and Mal that are talking, you know, I don't want to speak for anyone else, but my sense of every men's circle that I join is it feels like that at the beginning. It's like, oh, what's going on here? Am I okay? And then once we feel this sense of safety, then we really start to open up.
So that's probably a really great segue into my next question, actually, because I'm aware of the fact that both of you are involved in men's circles and men's work and that kind of thing. So my next question is that if you think about your experiences in those more formal spaces for men and your own journey through that, this would be a two-part question. What has been the thing that you found most confronting about that, and what's been the thing that's been most healing? So maybe Rich, you could answer that first.
I'm going to offer it to Mal because my doorbell's just rung and it's a delivery. Super embarrassing, but Mal, go for it.
Okay, Mel.
Oh, dear. Well, at least it's not his mobile phone, so that's one thing. All right. So what have I, yes, so in terms of the circles, and what have I found most confronting is probably just how hard it is to get guys to come in and to do it. You know, how hard it is to get men to want to partake in them, really. I think so that's kind of an external thing. And from an internal perspective, I mean, it's funny. I think I've been doing going to circles a lot and being a part of men's circles and men's work for so long now that there's actually very little I find confronting. It's like everything about it for me is joyous in a way. Really, it's a place that I really like spending time and where I want to spend more time. So, you know, I think I've kind of got through that personal fear zone. That doesn't mean that it's always comfortable. You know, there's lots of times when I feel uncomfortable in a circle, either because of something that a man is sharing or how I'm feeling, you know. But for me, they're one of the best places to spend time. What was the second part of that question?
What's been the most healing part of that?
So the most healing. So the first part I said was about, you know, the challenging or the confronting is just how difficult it is to get men along to these types of things. The most healing thing is what happens when men do come along. It's, you know, as I was just talking about my experience of growing up playing, you know, playing football and needing, and the sense of needing to fit in and, you know, needing to be liked. And it's like, and having this facade that I put on, you know, when I'm in a men's circle, it's like, there's absolutely no need for any of that. You know, I can be whatever, I can bring my full authentic self, and it doesn't matter what shit I'm carrying that day, or it doesn't even matter that my history, really. It's how I'm showing up in that moment, and it's just, yeah, so it is the most healing space, being present to other men as they open up. But man, just the opportunity to fully be myself and let down my guard, and it's you know, I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to be right. I don't have to be anything other than and then how I'm feeling in that moment. That is a very special, a really special experience. It's like that word safety, you know. It's like in that place of safety, I can just completely let my guard down and allow myself to feel what I'm feeling, to express what I need to express. And all of that, and the consequence of all of that is I just feel so alive and so nourished by the end of it that it's, you know, even just talking about it right now is enough to have me kind of feel like I want to get out of my chair and start pacing because I've got a lot of energy, you know, really good, alive energy, you know.
It's so interesting that you say that, because I obviously work in the yoga space, and I remember a little while ago just asking people in my community what it was that they wanted from community. And, you know, the context was yoga, but they said exactly the same thing. And most of the people who answered that question for me were women. But it was that, you know, what we all want from our communities and in shared spaces that we inhabit is the ability to be fully ourselves, whatever that means, and have that be held safely by other people.
Yeah. It's kind of like this universal need at the moment, isn't it? You know, I think.
Yeah.
Which is great. You know, I mean, this is even just hearing you say that, it's just, it just shows up, you know, how cross-gender, how important that is, and just how basic a human desire that is.
Absolutely. Rich, are you back from getting your delivery?
It was a 10-second jobby. Sorry, everyone. Nothing you can do. I've been present and I've heard everything. And just to sort of piggyback on what Mal said, really, it's pretty much the same. I mean, if you know, we go back to the journey that I mentioned before and not feeling safe around men, the most confronting aspect of then being in a circle is just that first moment. We're all judging the fuck out of each other. You know, we're all like kind of wondering what's going on. Some are obviously more secure in themselves, but like actually speaking to that, you know, like there was a circle. I remember it was a big week, you know, as a bunch of men have all come together and we're sat in this circle and you do a check-in. And I was like, hey guys, just to be real, I'm terrified and I'm judging all of you. That's how I feel safe. You know, if I know that I'm better than you or you're not this and that, like I see that pattern in me. And again, it was just like, oh, and there's a bunch of men going, thank you. I'm doing exactly the same. And so that sort of confronting moment of like, am I going to be accepted? Or am I going to be rejected? This kind of panic, fear state of my mind then gets alleviated. And I think the most healing aspect is, yes, this longer journey, you know, like at the end, you come together as men, whether it's after an hour, whether it's after like a weekend or a week. And there's this sense of brotherhood. And, you know, in the past I was triggered by that word. It's like, you know, I think it's thrown about a lot, but yeah, I use the word brother a lot now, and that feels healing to me. Like I relate to men. And so just these experiences of spending time together can be really transformative. And we talked about it being a universal need. It is, but that's not, and that's such a basic need, but the healing that happens is embodied. You know, it's not a mental process, and there's something that changes in you and sticks with you for a while afterwards. And so again, to echo Mal, like, having shared this now and remembering back to last night after this circle, I was doing laps around the house. I was like ringing up people and going, yeah, Mal, this was amazing. And something kind of is really free and open in me, because now I just feel like I'm part of something bigger than myself, which again, maybe sort of leans back to this. Maybe it's a different conversation, but it's almost spiritual then. You know, it's like I feel safe around men, but I'm part of something bigger here. And that means a lot to me. Mm.
And I'll, okay. Karina, I'll just vouch for that. Rich was bouncing off the walls last night. I could sense the energy in the text that he was sending me. It was awesome.
Wow, awesome. okay, so my next question then is like a more of a finish this sentence. And you know those questions that are deceptively simple, but maybe hard to answer. I suspect this might be one of them. So Rich, you first. Finish this sentence. Masculinity is.
Different things to different people. There is no clear definition that we can all agree on. Some people think it's a construct like femininity and doesn't have a place in the world. And there's a political discussion around that. Some people talk about it as being an energy that is one half of all human experience, the other half being femininity. And that's where, again, you know, spirituality would come in. For me, masculinity is something that needs to be reimagined, readdressed, re-understood, redefined.
Awesome. Love that. Mal?
All right. So I'm curious. Can I take 30 minutes right now and go back and listen to our podcast on what is masculinity? I mean, I agree with Richie, and I'm also...
Rich, man, come on, please.
Rich. I agree with Rich in terms of the personal definition, but for me personally, I can speak to what masculinity feels like to me, and I think that is the only place I can really come from, right? So, like when I feel like I am in my masculine energy, or I feel that I'm embodying something that's masculine, like there's a sense I feel really grounded, but I feel exceptionally grounded in my body, and it feels as if I'm completely rock solid when I'm in that space. Like I don't, the doubts and fears that I have seem to disappear and subside, right? And you know, it could be that everybody has the sense, and that maybe you could say that's just being grounded or centered or whatever. But for me, that is what when I think about or feel into what masculinity is, it's this ability to be completely rock solid in me, and kind of like I feel a little bit like the image I've got is like sea kelp, you know, how it's rooted into the ground and it just kind of flows with the coming and going of the waves, right? As the waves come in and out, and it's moving, but it's there and it's solid and it's immovable. But it's also, there's this sensitivity and capacity to go with the flow, and there's also this ability to shift when there needs to. Like, it's that's what, when I feel like I'm in my masculine energy, that's what it feels like for me.
So then my next question, and I recognize I'm going to sort of ask this in a way that's a bit binary gender-wise, but what's something that I, as a woman, don't understand about the experience of being a man?
Can I jump in on this one?
Please,
you can.
All right. So, for me, the one thing that I think is really misunderstood from women relating to men is around sex and what it's like as a boy, teenager coming into man, dealing with sex and sexuality, and dealing with having a penis, and dealing with those hormones and the fears, and in particular, and you know, for me, again, I'm going to speak, you know, through my own experience, you know, that this to be quite specific, you know, the fear of having a penis and not getting an erection during sex is one of the most humiliating experiences I think I've personally ever had. And I think it's one of these things that is often, you know, it's not talked about very much, and it's often in hushed tones. It's not often I'll have a conversation with other men about it other than a joking one, or and it's a very difficult conversation to have with women, partners, etc. This thing around what it is like to be a man and performing in sex and growing up and having to deal with expectations, peer expectations, you know, so all the ribbing and the expectations of boys. But then as we get, you know, as we get older and having to deal with the transition phases that happen around our sex drive, I mean, so all of that is just such a minefield. And I mean, I barely understand it myself. And I think for women, the few times I've had this kind of, we've kind of dived into it, it's almost, what I've got is almost like a shock from women not, you know, having no idea about what it is, what that whole process is like as a guy. And I know that I'm sure that maybe there are plenty of men who haven't been through some of the stuff that I've been through, but for me personally, man, that's just the journey of being a man in that realm is fucking hard.
Great answer. It's so interesting that, and I feel like you said so much just then, and I'm gonna just pick out one small thread. But isn't it interesting that we would even talk about it in terms of performing?
Yeah.
And
exactly.
And that kind of pressure is on it in that way.
Yeah, and that, you know, rightly or wrongly, is part of what sits there, you know, and it's sat there, you know, I guess through my whole life. I mean, there are periods where it doesn't have much of a, it doesn't feel like it's there, but by God, you know, there's a part of me that at all times wants to be able to perform in inverted commas, you know, and probably going back to my football days and sitting around with a bunch of men as a formulative teenager, listening to a whole bunch of guys talking about their sexual performance, you know, it was probably where some of that came from, but I think it's just a general, you know, that's absolutely a male thing. Crazy, huh?
And what's the, you know, if the framework for this question is sort of like, what do women not understand about the experience of being men? And, you know, you said that just the stress or the anxiety around having to have that kind of conversation with women, what is the fear or the worry around that?
Well, I mean,
so, in terms of how it will be received.
Well, it's more an intimate one, right? You know, I guess for putting the ability to, you know, the ability to get an erection and to have sex is a, you know, that's a pretty fundamental part of being a man in many ways, right? As I grew up believing it, and you know, it's probably a part of me that, not my part, you know, a decent sized part of me that still believes that. And, you know, so even just to have a conversation about the fear around that, or to have a conversation about my doubts, my insecurities around it is absolutely massive, you know, not, and that's without even going so much into the detail of it all. It's even just kind of admitting, because it kind of strikes to the heart of, you know, am I a man? Am I man enough? You know what I mean? I don't feel like it is a good conversation within men that we're good at having. You know, I don't know how it is for women. We're in the same, whatever the same kind of conversation might be like for women, but, you know, it doesn't feel like men are particularly good at having this conversation amongst ourselves. So it feels like we're probably even worse at it with women. I don't know. I certainly am worse at this conversation with women than I am with men.
I feel like probably just humans in general aren't great at having this kind of conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like about the circles of women that I know, I feel like some circles are really good at talking openly about things and some aren't, you know, it's a mixed bag of lollies. What about you, Rich? What is it that you feel that women maybe don't understand about the experience of being a man?
I'm still taken by the phrase mixed bag of lollies. I really like that. But to the question, I mean, a lot of what Mal said really, really resonated for me. There's something around this sense of, do you understand how humiliated we can feel in moments where we don't feel like we can perform? You know, like that can be sexual, and like I relate to everything that Mal said in that conversation. But you know, this pressure on us, and it's societal and it's not women's fault. It's, you know, it's just, it needs to shift. But this pressure that I definitely feel, and I know of a lot of men that shared it, to perform and to no longer be the provider, that's changed. But to be able to show up and lead, you know, like even in modern kind of dating and neo-tantric kind of models, there's this sense of like the masculine leads. And so we're the ones that are supposed to show up in dating, you know, is the one that leads, the ones that takes you out, that makes the decisions. Like that's being taught as a, you know, we dive into this world as a healthy trait that men want to do so that women can just be free to get dressed and look great. And it's like, am I learning something here? Like, So I have to be in my masculine, I have to be present, I have to know what's going on, I have to lead. That's a lot of responsibility. And if that's the standard, you know, then what about when I need to slip out of that? And I think men that are trying to sort of do their best, or women, don't often understand that, you know, we're terrified as men a lot of the time. And what happens if we fail? You know, like, what happens to us then? And so that would be kind of be my response to it. There's women unintentionally, I mean, the things that men do to women, you know, we've talked about, and that's a real problem. But on the flip side, you know, and as a response, no doubt, like, women can intentionally and very often unintentionally kind of put men down, you know, like, emasculate them and humiliate them. And that's really a big problem. You know, we have no idea how to kind of respond to that. And we don't know how to talk to anyone about that. To echo what Mal said, it's like, who can I talk to about this? The fact that I don't feel like I'm good enough as a man. I can't talk to other men about that. What do they think about me? And, you know, like, so the value of a circle in sharing stuff like this, but this is not in the first or the second round. This is pretty deep stuff. Like, we can ask what it means to be a man, but when we ask, how does it feel not to be a man? You know, like, how does it feel when you feel like you're failing and not showing up? That's like deep-seated stuff, and we don't have the language to deal with it. And to, again, to come back to what you were saying before, like, humans are not very good at this, but I echo again what Mal said, like, I'm useless at having these conversations in front of women and just saying, you know what, I'm not sure, because of these moments that I've experienced where through no fault of their own, like, a partner has also then just kind of put me down and said, oh, you're not doing this thing that I expect you to do, of this role that I've been brought up to expect of you. I'd like to think in the future these roles can be more interchangeable. But right now, this sense of, I'd love to get across, if anyone's open to hearing it, is like, you know, yeah, humiliation, it really, really hurts. And we don't know how to show it. That's the fine point. We don't know how to express that. You know, we don't know, because that's even worse, you know, so we just suppress it and we push it down, and then we're in real trouble, and then we isolate, and then we appear distant to you, you know, and you think we don't care, but it's like, we have no idea how to process this kind of stuff.
I feel like, you know, humiliation is, gosh, it's a big word and a big feeling, hey? And yeah. I was just sort of thinking, as you were speaking, you know, trying to sort of put myself in that position of, like, if I felt humiliated, how I would handle that. And I don't even know how you, like, begin to have it from that space. So I I totally get it. I've got one more question for both of you, which is this: is there anything I haven't asked that you think I should know, or that, you know, anything that we haven't been able to bring into this conversation that you feel should be brought? And maybe Mal, I'll start with you.
Yeah, okay, cool. So I think it's more, so what I'm thinking is the thing is, if, as a man, what would I like to say to women? I think, if, you know, that would be the question. And because my answer to that would be, you know, I have the most amazing respect for women. You know, I think that we don't get enough, there isn't enough opportunities, or there isn't enough shouting in from the rooftops of just how amazing I think women are, and how amazing I think the world recognizes women to be. You know, there's not enough of this that comes from men. And I want, like, for me personally, you know, I want women to know just how grateful I am, you know, to you, Karina, but just to all the women in my life. You know, like, I my life is so rich as a consequence. I mean, we talk about having men's circles and everything, but you know, my life would without women in my life, it would be, you know, life would be a poor imitation of what it currently is, right? So I think that's one thing that I want to say, and then the second, there's another part to that, which is, you know, I see just how powerful women can be when they get an opportunity. Powerful is not the word. How profoundly strong and brave and compassionate women can be when they're given an opportunity to lead. And I often personally think that the world needs a lot more women in leadership because of that ability to bring compassion and empathy into their leadership, which a lot of men currently lack. I don't think that we do lack. I think, and this is the bit about men, and this is where I think Rich and I are heading towards it, certainly for me personally, is that, you know, within us, we have the strength that I talked about when you asked, what is masculinity? You know, what does it mean? You know, so when I talked about this inner strength, it's like, I think that when that inner strength gets tapped into with a heavy dose of compassion and empathy, I think it is incredibly moving to see a man when he's in that place. And that's where I think that I feel that men are moving to. It's not in the future. I feel that we are doing it now. I feel like there's a groundswell of men who are embodying this really beautiful sense of, you know, passion and power, but also empathy and caring, and you know, so I guess, you know, for women, really, I want you to know that's our potential for men, and we're on our way there. You know, we are getting there, and the best thing that I can ask for women is to really encourage and support us in that journey, because you know, humanity needs us to get there. Children need us to get there. Partners, lovers need us to get there, right? And I believe, and I feel like we can. You know, even just having these conversations, I feel like we're there. We're on our way. You know, we've got a lot of healing to do, but I feel like we're on our way. We're on the path. That's me.
When you say, you know, you make the request for like encouragement and support, what does that actually look like tangibly?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think, you know, so part of this is to be, you know, to be called out. These movements such as Me Too and things like, and the recent protests around violence by men to women. You know, I think part of it is to be called out, you know, be challenged and called out for it. But the second part is to have a little bit of faith that we're on that journey. So here's a good analogy. Here's a good analogy for you, Karina. So in my work, I have, you know, often I'd get a lot of women coming in and like, oh, my fucking husband, you know. I keep on asking him to do the lawns, and all that happens is we end up in an argument. And I go, okay, so tell me what the deal is. And she says, okay, so I asked my husband if he would mow the lawns by the weekend, and I'm like, okay, cool. And then she said, so on Thursday, I know he hadn't done the lawns yet, and I said, you know what? You haven't done the lawns. I asked you to do the lawns and you haven't done them. And the husband goes, yeah, I said I was going to do them by the weekend. You need to, the agreement was the weekend, get off my back. and And so the analogy here is that that often what happens is that men, I often think of guys are like kids a little bit, right? If we're going to do something, you've got to have faith that we're going to do it. And by what that means is if we say we're going to mow the lawns by Saturday, wait until Saturday until you ask us if we're going to mow the lawns. So what it essentially means is that one of the things that can happen is I feel like the button can be pushed. It's like if you keep pushing the button too much, all that ends up happening is that the reverse happens and guys push back and they say you're nagging me, right? So it's kind of like, I think the support is find out what it is that guys want and need and then give them the space to be able to achieve it. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Perfect.
What about you, Rich? Is there anything I haven't asked that you think I should have, or anything that you think should be brought into this conversation?
Well, as I've been listening to Mal, I've been forming my own thoughts and they're of a similar direction. You know, like that second part, especially of having faith, like I can also imagine someone hearing that going, well, it's a little bit hard. You know, faith is in short supply right now for many reasons, you know? And so I understand that. And yet, like, providing the space to allow us to do that. I think women actually want men to do that. I think they're just gagging for men to just go get on and do this kind of stuff. You know, the initial eruption of kind of shaming and anger, I totally get, you know, and there's just like this groundswell of like Me Too and the more recent movements around it. There's this sense of like, oh, and this sense of frustration and anger from women that just is so old. And we've had to kind of really absorb that as men, and I'm still not happy with our response, but my deep belief is that we all want to respond, we just don't know how. And case in point, you know, providing that space literally could mean like what happened last night. One guy rocked up and he's like, I'm not sure what I'm doing here, my wife just put me onto this this men's circle. You know, he was trying to find the mute button and didn't know what breakout rooms were, and he had the time of his life and he just dropped in and he was like, this is amazing, you know? So like, we just need that kind of like shepherding in a way. That's not to say that, you know, you need to take responsibility for everything or us showing up. We need to do that, but just kind of, you're more in tune with this kind of stuff, you know? Like a lot of men out there are just sort of staring into space or into their beers, and it's like, hey, like there's this thing, and encouraging us to do that. And the responsibility must come from a man. And it's that first moment of stepping up and going, oh, this is nerve wracking. But the more that this happens, the more stories are spread, and it will happen. And just to finally come back to this word that Mal also used, of potential, you know, like say what you want about men and what they've become and how they've behaved. We have so much potential and desire and drive to show up differently and to play a more relevant part with everybody else. We want that deep down. We're just terrified right now, you know, in a bunker somewhere, not knowing how to deal with this. And actually, I just, as a final add-on, I also want more women in leadership, but I go further and to say it's not just women being in leadership that needs to happen, because, you know, people like Margaret Thatcher, Condoleezza Rice, I don't look up to as great examples of compassion and empathy. So it's like, it's a different model that needs to come through. And it's this model that we can loosely term, if you like, as the feminine, you know. It's like not focusing on competitivity, but actually on more of like a kind of a collective, like what are we doing here for the greater good, you know, that requires empathy and compassion that's not limited to women. You know, like men need to learn to sort of tap back into that again, and then we can go forward together, you know, and women, and then eventually men demonstrating this at a higher level in leadership, that's what's required. And that's not what we're seeing at the moment. So I think a lot of men, want this, and it's just like finally giving us the space to, as Mal said, just get on and do the stuff that we deep down are dying to get on with.
Well, thank you very much, both of you, for having this conversation with me. And I was really actually just struck the whole time by your openness. And I feel like these are kind of like such big conversations that are hard enough to have behind closed doors when nobody else is listening. And so I really appreciate that you both were so open and honest the whole way through when people are. So thank you for having me on again for this. I'm really grateful.
Thanks for the questions. Just my experience of, you know, being listened to and being able to express these ideas and beliefs and just seeing how much was in line with Mao, you know, means a lot. And it's, you know, it's a relief. We're not going off in different directions. But, you know, like there's something deeper going on here, and I don't want to speak for other men, but I'd love people's feedback on this. And whether that's struck them like it has you is like, wow, this openness is like, is this strange? Is this weird? But just thank you for taking the time to pose those questions that allowed us to kind of move into that space. I've had a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you for me too, Karina. It was really nice to, it was a pleasure actually to have questions coming from you to us. And to hear that you enjoyed the experience. I mean, I'd like to, as you know, turn around and go, how was this for you? But I kind of feel that you've answered that a little bit. And but if there's anything more you want to add before you sign off, it's been a lovely evening, a lovely series of conversations. So thank you for joining us once more.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And I kind of feel like there's nothing more that I would want to add, because I kind of thought that this, well, the way that I approached this space was that if I could ask the right questions, then really the space was today more about you than me, because the last time we chatted it was more about me than you. So now we're even Stevens.
Beautiful. Awesome. Well, until next time then, until we can pepper it, we need to get somebody else in next time, pepper them with questions, all three of us maybe.
Awesome.
All right. Well, once more, we'll wrap this up, shall we? And if you've been listening along and there's been something that has piqued your interest or you've got a comment, please join. Please don't be scared to get on our Facebook page, post a comment. If you've got any questions for us, feel free to fire them out our way as well. But that's all from me, Rich.
And that's all from me. You said everything. Perfect, Mao. Great talking to you. Thank you, Karina. See you, everyone, soon.
Thanks, gents.
From this week's podcast, if there's been anything that's inspired you, challenged you, or simply left you wanting more, then please reach out to Richie and Mao via their Facebook page, Man Reimagined. Just like you, we're trying to get a handle on all of these issues and topics. So the more we're able to share and talk about them, I think the better off we're all going to be. Until next time, catch you later.